Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A lot of us are stunned at the level of security that is going on in the Capitol. There are going to be three times the troops in the Capitol as there are in both Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Javed Ali joins us right now, a Towsley policymaker in residence at the Ford School at the University of Michigan, a former senior director for counterterrorism at the National Security Council. He's got over 20 years of professional experience in national security and intelligence issues in Washington, serving in the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI. And while at the FBI, he held senior positions on joint duty assignments at the National Intelligence Council, the National Counterterrorism Center, and the National Security Council under the Trump administration. Sir, I just wanted to read all of that because it's an honor to have you, and I appreciate your time.
Tommy, thanks so much for having me, honored to be on your show. And I think what you just read in your bio means that I couldn't hold a job in government. So sorry.
I don't think it means that at all. How concerned are you when you see what's going on in Washington? Do you think it's overreaction?
That's a great question, Tommy. And as you noted, I spent a good chunk of time in Washington. I'm no longer in Washington, in that world of national security and counterterrorism. And what we're seeing play out in the streets of Washington in the aftermath of the terrible events at the Capitol, that's unprecedented. I think it's unprecedented even after 9/11. I was in Washington when the 9/11 attacks happened. And yes, there was a sense of fear and panic, but we didn't have this incredibly high level of physical security that we're seeing now for the inauguration. Now, this large deployment of National Guard troops, as you noted, is incredibly significant. They're not going to stay for a long period of time, but still, even for however long it is, a week or so, this is unprecedented in modern U.S. history. Yes, yeah, so this is about as serious as it gets.
And I presume those are not just rifles for show. I presume they'll be armed. And at some point, could it come down? Do you foresee it coming down, Javed, where National Guard troops would have to fire on American citizens?
This is another one of these incredibly important questions that I don't yet believe we actually have answers from the White House, the Pentagon, other folks responsible for the security planning, is that because of this large deployment, and I believe almost all of the troops are armed, in addition to the thousands of law enforcement officers who are going to be there as well, both federal, state, local, and they will be armed too. What are the rules of engagement for lethal force? Because this is one of the key questions about what transpired 10 days ago at the Capitol. Lethal force was not used against people who were assaulting police officers. And theoretically, I don't know the Capitol Police sort of internal rules or the Washington Metro Police rules, but theoretically, if you're assaulting a police officer and they are in fear of their life, and clearly one officer died as a result of being attacked, I think lethal force would have been justified. I mean, it's sad to say, but I mean, you're trying to save your own life at that point. So if, in the worst case scenario, we have scenes like we did last week where either National Guard troops are physically threatened with violence or law enforcement, you might not have any other recourse but to use your weapon to defend yourself. And if that happens, no one knows what the consequences will be. But what needs to happen now are the orders for when to use lethal force or not, because you can't just make it up in a crisis. You know, the troops need to know in advance what their operating parameters are.
And along those lines, it's different in the context of a troop, but make no mistake about it. If you approach somebody or won't stop or attempt to harm the president, vice president, or anybody else under the Secret Service protection, they will shoot you, correct?
Well, I mean, again, I can't speak to the specific, you know, sort of protocols for the Secret Service, but if someone were to get that close, now, again, the potential of someone getting that close to, you know, Vice President Pence or President-elect Biden or all the other senior, you know, dignitaries that will be outside for the actual sort of turnover of power. Yes, I mean, even, you know, whatever the distance is between a threat and the protectees, that threat will be neutralized, right? Because you can't, you know, you obviously can't get let people get that close. So there will be so many rings of security, physical rings of security, with people and protective measures in that, you know, core site. I don't know if they're going to do it at the Capitol or not like normal. But one would think that there will be rules as well for the use of lethal force.
Let's pick it up here. We come back, and I hope that all of this is just overkill to discourage anybody that would be even inclined to engage in any type of behavior like that, where they would say, okay, well, this is, we can't match that. So we'll talk about the intelligence gathering efforts as well when we come back, and how those could have been hampered and it could have maybe prevented what happened on January 6th. Our guest is Javed Ali, a policymaker and a resident at the Ford School at the University of Michigan, but got massive government experience when you're talking about National Security Agency, FBI, et cetera, Department of Homeland Security. 8:21, time for traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Javed Ali. This gentleman and I conflated a word before, and I want to clear this up because it matters. Not National Security Agency, National Security Council, Defense Intelligence Agency, Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, and also the National Intelligence Council, National Counterterrorism Center, and the National Security Council under the Trump administration. So tell us about maybe intelligence and how the gutting of one program or department could have led to maybe a failure as it relates to connecting the dots and preventing January 6th?
So, Tommy, thanks for that question. And this is another one of these key pieces of this giant jigsaw puzzle that has to be figured out in the aftermath of the events at the Capitol. So it's still not clear, at least to those of us on the outside, and even people like myself who, you know, held some of these intelligence-related positions, how much information was known about the potential for that kind of series of events to unfold at the Capitol. When did people know it? When was that information shared, not only internal to all these different departments and agencies, but then over to the Capitol Police for their assessment of how to change, potentially change their security posture? So there's sort of different stories that have emerged in different media reports over the past week or so, but there's still no coherent narrative about the actual true timeline and sequence of events. And much like some of the, you know, the gaps and the mistakes and even the failures that were made in the run-up to 9/11, it looks like, at least initially, that there was a replay of that, maybe not the same scale and scope, although, you know, theoretically it could have presented that kind of a threat if members of Congress had been attacked. But still, there were clearly things that should have worked well, appear to have not. And we now have to figure out, why did those things not operate effectively? So those, I think, are going to be some of the key issues that are looked at as the Biden administration comes into power.
Very quickly, because we only have 2 minutes left, and I really appreciate your time. I can talk to you for 8 hours about this. One thought that I had, a horrible thought, is that we could turn into the United States, depending on how active these groups are and how persistent they are, into almost like a situation with the Troubles in Northern Ireland back in the day. Do you foresee anything like that at all, Javette, or am I being melodramatic here?
No, Tommy. I mean, that's a fair point to raise. I mean, there is a high level of threat from this, you know, far right extremist sort of movement, if that's even the right sort of term to use. No one knows truly how many people are in this, how many people in it are willing to act out violently. And this is going to endure for quite a long period of time. And unlike 9/11, when we were facing the potential of, you know, foreign deployed and trained operatives coming into the United States and conducting attacks, and tragically we saw that on 9/11, these aren't people coming in from outside the country. These are Americans born and raised here and who also enjoy protections at a certain level. So the paradigm of counterterrorism now is very different than the post 9/11 world that I spent, you know, the bulk of my career in. And again, we're going to have to think through what the future looks like while we deal with the short term issue of, you know, protecting the inauguration, getting through these next couple of weeks. So it is going to be a bumpy road. But getting to the, you know, scenario where, where we're so divided, where we have a some Northern Ireland like sort of environment, hopefully that never happens.
I hope not. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back. 8:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.